Lo and I are going to have to come here to the church and record what we did this morning because everybody that's going to comment on his being a part of this needs to hear what we said today. It's imperative, so we'll figure some way to do that. I'm sorry I got excited about what I'm doing, and John, I forgot you. Tell you to turn it on. So, but we're going to get it because you're going to hear an announcement from me in the call multiplier, and that is everybody who gets visited has to be able to have heard what just took place this morning. Yeah, you don't just move into this without hearing that and those words. And I want to tell you something that I've told the interviewers, Ease, about you. I said to them, without being even asked, that they could find no church that's better to pastor in this whole country. You are awesome people. It is a privilege to be with you and to pastor you and shepherd you. And I felt that for 18 years. 18 years all along the way. And Cindy knows how I respond to you in this church. And she knows that. And so, you know, this is a wonderful place. I'm not just saying that to throw bouquets. But we need to be clear God's doing all this. I want to tell you something I've never said to anybody here. I'll give you little clips along the way of vignettes of God's affirmation when I came. When I came here, I came out of a difficult past where God has redeemed. Jane Lapp had been with me a long time before that. She saw the depth of the deepest, darkest of all. And when she walked in here that day with John, he wasn't there those days, but with John, I knew the Lord told me. He said, it's right for you to be here. I've never told her that. I've never said anything to her. But that was very clear to me. That was an affirmation of her being with me during those times. And she could have walked away, as many people do, unfortunately, when somebody fails and goes through redemption and healing. But she came here. And that has been an awesome affirmation. And you all affirm being the pastor. And the time will come when the person is selected and it's done. There will be a moment on a Sunday morning when that person and I will be here together, and I will do something that is biblical, and that is I will pass the anointing of a pastor to him. Pastors are anointed by God, and it's not mine to hold on to. It's mine to pass on. And that's a deep thing of the Spirit, that you will know it, you will hear it, God will hear it, and this person will know it. And then they carry the mantle. And I've retired. Hallelujah. Well, guess what? This is not a one another. Praise God. One of the young guys said when they were looking at potential pastors that they were talking about, and this was told to me by a parent, that they were discussing the preaching style. The person said, well, I'll say one thing. He sure isn't like Dennis. Dennis can take a verse and take a whole year to do it. Which was a compliment, not a put down, to be able to take God's word apart and to learn what it says and to apply how it fits to our lives without human direction. So, this is the title. I'm just going to call it, Really? That is so goofy of a title. But what I have beside that is the fact that we are preparing for change. You need to prepare yourselves for change. And the sermons that I'm going to preach for the next few weeks, definitely next week, and it may go beyond that, depending on what the Lord's showing me, is that I'm to now equip you and to prepare you to handle change. Change is a reality that all of us have had to deal with. And I'd like you to turn with me, and I want to start by reading, this isn't going to be the main text, but Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, you don't usually go there for sermons, but you may look in your concordance if you need to. because I'm always having a hard time finding this, even though I've used it numerous times. Proverbs, it's getting there. If you're close to Proverbs, you're about there. You're finding him. So, Ecclesiastes chapter 3. I want to read verses 1 to 8. Guess what this is about? Huh. For everything, there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. Every. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant, a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather some stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to seek and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to tear and a time to sow. A time to keep silent and a time to speak. A time to love and there's a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. This life is about change. That's what this is telling us. Every aspect of this life in this world, he says, everything under the sun, under heaven, is going to experience what's called change. And change is something that we all must face, but many of us, many people, do not deal with it very well. Because when we're faced with change, we have two options. One is we can spiral upward from because of the change, or we can spiral downward. Most of the time in my experience, I've seen when change is coming, the initial reactions, the initial experiences are spiraling downward. I can close my eyes before you and sit in a chair, and I could tell you where everybody sits in this church. I could tell you where you all sit in a fellowship meal. And when we go visiting places just to visit, I'm thinking, whose chair am I sitting on? They'll get all bent out of shape, but they'll get over it. But the thing is we all, and I just want you to pause for a few minutes and think about, not your whole life, just think about this last week, 2 weeks. What you had to face that was change. What you had to face was change. This church must face change. Change that none of you have experienced since you've been, if you've been here with me, but you are now going to have to face that. And my prayer and my desire is to equip you to not spiral downward, but to spiral upward. And the way that we can do that is by becoming either negative, and down we go, or spiral upward by being affirming. Now, there are some men in the Bible that had to face change. As a matter of fact, you read them all. They all have had to face change. But I'm going to pick a couple out. And the first one we're going to look at this morning, and we're going to ask this, is there something that happened in that experience with God that help them deal with the change in their lives, to taking them to the most dramatic, demanding, challenging moment that anybody could ever think about on this earth? And how did they deal with it? And that man, his name is Abram. We now know him as Abraham. You can read about him in Genesis. You can start when you read about him in the 12th chapter of Genesis, and it goes on through 28. We're not going to do them all. Don't worry. Don't freak out. But we're going to pick something. But I want to start with him in the first part when he comes on the scene of history. And then what is happening in his life. When change is so difficult, it's because we become comfortable with what's going on. And along it comes, and it totally pushes you out of your comfort zone, whatever it might be, whatever it might be. And then how long it lasts or whatever it's about, that's not today's message. But the message is, how can I suggest to you from God's word, can we learn something from this man, Abram, who we know as Abraham? Now, Abram, comes on the scene of history in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. And now the Lord said to Abram. Now, who is this man? The question is, who is he? Is there anything that tells us about him? And there is. As a matter of fact, he is a descendant of one of the three sons that came out of the ark with Noah, Shem. And it goes down through the verses before. I'm not going to read these to you. But if you go through the verses prior to this chapter, you're going to see this man comes on the scene of history, and he is a descendant of Shem, the one son of Noah. So out of there, this man comes. God does something. They were religious people in those days. They believed in God. They believed in all kinds of gods, but they were desiring to be people of God. Noah in itself was never going to even go in the ark, but what did he do? God spoke to him. You think that would have been crazy just to build an ark and wait for a flood? God spoke to him. So you knew that Noah had a relationship with God, even in those days before Jesus even existed on this earth, even before the days that there was a covenant, even before the days that there was a law that was given. Men had relationship to God, unique and special. Shem was taught that. Well, not Shem, but the sons on down through, that's passed on to them. And so Abram is chosen by God. It doesn't tell us why. It only tells us what he does with what he's brought by God. And so we're going to start in the 12th chapter, verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make you great, make you a great nation. This is just one man sitting in a tent or in the sand, probably somewhere. Now God comes to him and says something. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old. I just thought about that. When he departed from Haran. Think of this. Go as the Lord said. And Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old, and he departed from Haran. Can we go one more verse? And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people that they had acquired in Haran. Now, we'll just stop there. We'll stop there. The point is here he is sitting. Pretend this is you, living your life. All of a sudden, God speaks to you. You don't make this up. You think you made it up. You can't be that vain of yourself to come with all of this. And he says, Abram, now I want you to know something. I want you to do something. First, I want you to take everything you've got, all the people, and you get up and you leave and go where I will tell you to go. I'm not telling you yet where to go. Just go. Take it all, put it together. But I want you to understand something. There's a purpose for where you're going. You are going to bless all the families of this earth. You will become a great nation. One guy sitting in his tent with his family? How many? Maybe 20, 30? I don't know. There's flocks around him. I'm going to make you a great man. You are going to be one of the greatest. And the nation, all the families of the earth will be blessed by you. I couldn't imagine what that would be like. But try to somehow realize what this man was now encountering. You talk about change. And what's he do? He picks up his family, and it says, so Abram went as the Lord had told him. Now, we're going to go to a place in here where we're going to look at what Abram does, but we're going to jump to a chapter, and let's just read that now to the, no, I think I'll wait. So chapters 12 to 28 unfold the whole story from there to his death. And he's 75 years old when this happens. You think change is a challenge? Get old. You'll know what it's like. Get old, and you will. And some young people, everybody has a struggle with this, but this guy's 75 years old. And the things that are going to now happen in his life are beyond any imagination of what could be taking place. It's just an unbelievable story. And we're going to go through this story. I'm going to tell you about it. And then we're going to come to the chapter that I believe shows us in this story can apply to us at Grace to begin to realize, do I carry this in my life? But Abram has quite a sordid story along the way. He has some very wonderful moments, and he has some very bad moments. And God does things with him. And along the way, when God is doing things with him, there's three attributes that show up different times. One, the Lord speaks to him. He hears God. Two, he builds an altar before God. Worships. That's what that meant to him, to worship. And thirdly, he then... My phone just beeped, so I got another Father's Day. Congratulations. So it distracted me for a moment. And the third thing is that... Oh, it's great. The third part is that he... One is he hears God. Two is he worships God. And three, he obeys God. Amen. All three of those. All through the stories. This guy, I'll give you some brief story. We'll get to the chapter. It won't take long. He goes through a lot. The man has to face a time when his name is going to be changed from Abram to Abraham. And that is the reason, because he's going to have a son. He's going to bless the nations with a child. The guy is now close to 100. No children. No wife. A wife that has a challenge in herself to whether she's going to have a baby and can be pregnant. She goes to him and says, listen, why don't you take another woman? Let her be the child. Let her bear this child for you. And then you'll have a son. Well, the interesting thing is she gets pregnant. Sarah. Because she's now going to be the mother. They're going to be the father. Your son will be this. He's 75 years old when he leaves and starts to hear this. He's 100 years old when this happens. You talk about miracles? Well, they lived 200-300 years in those days. But the point of it is picture this, the unbelievableness of what this man was going to be doing. And he was being taken, picking up all of his family. Also along the way, he has a nephew, by the way, his name is Lot. And in this experience with Lot, they have this really neat relationship, but all of a sudden something happens. The Bible says that God blessed Abram, God blessed Lot, and all of a sudden, Lot starts to get jealous over what he has, and they separate because of jealousy on the part of Lot. Abraham, his name gets changed because God says, you are now going to be the father of many. Abram to Abraham, that's what you will be called. Sarai, Sarah. And he tells him, he says, look, you're not only going to be a father of many nations, and you're not going to bless everyone, and that's almost, how can I, world can I do that? And God doesn't explain it. That's the amazing part. He just tells him these things. It doesn't make good explanation. We don't even hear him say why. We also see Abram having a challenging moment when he is moving across the land, and he goes into an area where they know that the wife he has is one good-looking woman. In our day and age, we would call her hot, which means she could get the attention of all men. And Abraham knows this. So he goes in there and he knows that what if the king finds out, you know, that he's the husband, he's dead. He'll kill him and take her. Well, the king does want her. He does take her. However, in the process, he becomes made aware that that's not his sister, which he told him it was, but his wife. King freaks out, doesn't kill him, doesn't kill her, but sends him on the way. He lied to save his own skin. Interesting. But God speaks to him, and God leads him, and God guides him. And down the road he continues to go to the place where in all that he's facing, in all that he's dealing with, and you can read these chapters, read them in your devotional time, you just be amazed at exactly what God does with him. So we're going to go to chapter 22. This won't take long. Finally, prior to this chapter, they have a baby. They call him Isaac. And after all these things, all the things that he had been going through for these years, the Bible says, and God tested him. He says this, all that you've been doing has been preparation in your life. It's been training. None of these before this said this, he said, but now I'm going to test you. How are you going to test him? Well, God tells him through the story. He says, Abraham it responds like always. He says, here I am. Always, God, I'm here. I'm here. I'm here for you. He says, take your son, your only son, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. The son that was prophesied would come is now being told to Abraham by God that he's going to take this son and he's going to sacrifice him on a mountain. He's going to kill him. Verse 3. So Abraham rose up and does it. No complaint, no challenge, none. But watch what he does. First, he hears God. Secondly, he's going to respond obediently to God in this process. Respond obediently. It says, so Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of the young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. This is powerful stuff. There's so many symbols in here about Jesus and what God did with his son. But he gets there and he sees this. And then Abraham said to his young son, the young men, stay here with the donkey. Now this is the next line. We are coming back. How's that work? God told him to take him to this mountain, to burn him, to kill him as a sacrifice. Abraham has nothing from God but that and says, we will be back. How could he do that? Because over the years, this test was showing that he learned to trust God. He knew God said that son is going to be the one that will bring birth to this world. He will be the son that will be used to birth. And now he's going to die. He's going to kill him without even challenging God to remind God of what he said. He takes him and he embraces it. And he says, now we're going to go. He cuts all the wood. He gets everything ready. The son's got an idea what's going down somewhat. And then he says to these young men, guys, stay here. I'm going to take my son up in this mountain. We will be back. The most powerful words in the Old Testament. We will return. God did not tell him anything at that point that he was going to resurrect from the dead or whatever's going to happen. Not at all. So in faith, in trusting God over all those years that he learned this God could be trusted, he could be believed, he could be heard, and he could be believed and he can be heard for some of the most drastic things that you could ever imagine, but you can believe it because he got a promise. It starts with a promise. It doesn't just come along here and get accidental. He starts with a promise. And now there's years are passing, and now comes the challenge where he's going to test it. He's going to test Abraham. And so he says to the young man, stay here with the donkey, and I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood off of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. And so they went, both of them together. The son's carrying the wood. Abraham's carrying the knife and the fire. And Isaac says to his dad, my father, Abraham goes, here I am, so my son. He said, behold the fire and the wood. I see this, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? We forgot somebody. Abraham says this, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So they went, both of them together. He did not say anything other than God is going to provide. The son is saying, where's the lamb? I'm carrying the wood that you're going to lay me down and burn. You got the knife, you got the fire. He knows what's going down here. Well, where's the lamb, Dad? Well, you're the lamb. He doesn't say it that way. And when they came to the place of which God had told him, we're in verse 9, Abraham built the altar there, laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Abraham reached out his hand, took the knife to slaughter his son. And at that moment, God comes through. And now it says, but an angel of the Lord called him, Abraham, Abraham. You know the rest of the story. The rest of the story is there's a lamb there. He didn't see this lamb when he went up there. He didn't, I got an idea. That's the one I'm going to get. Don't worry, son, we're going to take care of you. No way. This went to the point of total, complete obedience to God. Based on what? Over the years, he could trust him. And based on what? That God made a promise. We could take this sermon and apply it to so many things of our lives. The fact of just Jesus loving you the rest of your life and seeing that you enter in heaven someday with him. I mean, there is so much we could take from this. But what we want to do is just apply it to us. What are we going to do with this? We're going to see what Abraham, Sarai, Sarah did. And read these chapters because you're going to get a good, it's a great story. What are we being asked to do here as a church? God says, I want to make a change. I want to change. I've changed this church numerous times, and now we're going to make another change. Now the question is, what are you going to do with it? You can hear all of this, you can feel all the feelings you feel, and you can do one of two things. You can be a fleshy person and spiral downward and get negative. You know, whatever. Or you could take Abraham's example and look to God. One, is what we're doing of God absolutely so? God told me a day is going to come when I'll put you in this place, and a day will come when I'm telling you it's time to go out. And he's been faithful to that. I'm not leaving because I'm discouraged or depressed or you don't like me or I don't like you or I'm tired of you all. No, this is a great place. It's wonderful, the things that are happening. It's exciting. It's wonderful to be with you. And in that place, and then what is ahead also? But he said, it's time. There's a time for everything. And the time for this congregation now is to embrace what God wants to do, and that is move me aside and bring someone new. And so when we pray and you seek the Lord, what you need to do is trust God first. This is God. Can you trust him that he wants to bring the person to replace me? That ability to believe that will only come out of your life experience with God. If you've been a person that can't trust God very well through your life, probably never, you're going to struggle. I'm not telling you what to answer. I'm going to tell you your struggle because you're going to go spiral downward. All kind of negative things are going to come to you about this, about that, what about this, what about that, you know, whatever it says. Or if you've been a person who's learning over your life as a Christian, you could be a Christian 1 week or 50 years or whatever, and you've learned over your life to travel with God, and God speaks to you, he leads you, he guides you, and he asks for you something. He says, come, obey me, worship me, lay yourself before me and adore who I am and what I'm about. That's what Abraham was doing. And so as a church, if you're going to change well and beautifully and in that which honors God, you have to be that. I'm not giving you a choice. You're going to have to be that. I've got to be that. Cindy has to be that. Because if we're not, you're going to go downward in yourself. You personally are going to end up depressed. You're going to end up very negative, and you're going to be very critical as a person. And it'll show up in the midst of the family. Paul Lowell says every time he answers call multiplier, hello, GCF, Grace Community Fellowship, family. He uses the word family. That word says something. It says you have effect on each other, and there is something amongst you that this is not just a let's go to church, let's go home. That's great. That's nice. It's nice to see you. I may never talk to you again. Whatever. That's not the point. This is a family. All of you are connected to one another in various different ways. All of you serve one another in various different ways. All of you have been here and you've learned to obey God in your life to step up, to serve him out there and in here. One of the candidates said to me when I was at that meeting, I read your bulletin. And he says, I read what's on the back of this. That's amazing. That's amazing to see that list of people who've stepped up to serve. And you do it because you have learned to trust God. You do it because you have learned to hear God's voice. You have learned how to realize there's times you're going to fail and you're going to mess up. But you're going to trust God in that failure and that mess up, and he's going to lead you through it because he has a purpose in your life. He has a purpose for you every day of where you're at and for me. And so what can we do from this? You can learn this. You can challenge you. I want to challenge you in this. I want you to ask yourself, go to God and ask God about this week. Could I be like Abraham? Am I like him? If you're not, you can become like him. Talk to Delma about what change is like. I remember when she said one time, you know, I can't believe what she had to face. None of us can. Low a little bit when he was in the hospital, not sure he was going to live or not. But Delma, day after day, week after week, pain beyond anything you and I could imagine. And one of the things she said to me, you know, I know that I can trust God to get me through this. We can trust God for the very best in this church. We can trust God that the person that's coming is going to be better than me. And that this church is going to keep on its destiny. Its purpose that was established by a Mennonite bishop facing a church that broke and split away. And yet in his conservative life, he had a vision. He trusted God that God said, do this. And he did it. And you're a result of that. And I'm a result of it. And everybody is a result of it in the future that's coming. Grace is not done. He is only starting. He's only getting going. Now, we can embrace all of this. Cindy and I have to deal with this, just as you. It's as hard for us as it is for you. Maybe harder, but it's the way it is. And every change is just like this. And I pray that this will be a time, and I'm done. 1 minute I see it clicking. That you can challenge yourself before God. One, do I trust you? Two, do I lay myself before you and worship you and honor you in my life? Which means, do I have a relationship with you? Are you and I in a relationship together? Abram could do this, and he didn't even have Jesus. He didn't have the law. And he could do this. And you and I have Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit and a promise that he wants to relate to you and me. And can I relate to him? Do I relate to him? Or do I just do my own thing? Lord, yes, you will do your own thing sometimes, he says. But there are more times that you don't need to. What's your commitment? Abram showed something. He would do what God wanted. He would adore and worship God. That's what the altar's about. And thirdly, when he heard God, and he knew he could hear God, and I've taught you over the years, you can hear God. Don't ever listen to somebody that says you can't. They don't know the word of God. And don't listen to anybody that says there's a con way that you can get God to speak to you. It doesn't work like that. It works by the fact that he's God and he's going to say, Denny, like he said to me, it's time. It's time. And it's time. And when he says that to us, we want to hear him. And we want a relationship with him that we adore him and we worship him in our own unique ways, whatever that might be. And as a church, and be able to say, I love you, Lord. I honor you. I give myself to you. And then get up and obey it. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you are the God that never keeps us from challenge. And you said we will be changing and we will face change. And I pray, Lord, if there's anybody in this congregation that hates change, that this can be a time where they can repent of it and they can change in their life. And they can realize, I've fought this all my life. I have an attitude about this when it's taking place, no matter what it is. And any one of us that live more than a week or a month or a year or whatever are facing that change. And Lord, I've done a terrible job with it. But I change today because I'm going to embrace something. I want to be like what Abraham taught me. I want to be, and I give that to you, that Lord, I will take and listen to you. I want to listen to you. I'm going to worship you in my relationship. You and I are going to intimately be involved with each other. And thirdly, that when I'm clear on what you want, I will obey. And also, Lord, I thank you so much that when I have to face this stuff, I'm going to trip and fall. I'm going to mess up sometimes really poorly. But I thank you that I can look to you and in my relationship with you to ask you to forgive me. And you do. You've already done it on the cross. But you want from me that humility and that I can get up and get going forward and that fulfill the purposes that you have for us every day. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so very much for what you're doing. Thank you, Lord, that this congregation is listening to you, that these people are embracing you and having a relationship with you and giving their hearts to you and worshiping you. And we praise you for that. And we look forward, Lord, with the good things that are coming. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let's stand.